Right, well, good morning, everyone. For anybody who doesn't know who I am, my name is Stephen Nauer. I'm one of the members here at the church. And today, as has already been said, is the last part in our three-part series on the Trinity. So in week one, Rob was talking about God the Son being Jesus. And then Peter last week talked about God being the Holy Spirit. And as Megan said earlier, if you didn't get a chance to be here for either of those, they are available on the website if you have access to that kind of technology. And so this week, I'm going to be talking about God the Father, quite apt as today is Father's Day. As Peter, I think, mentioned last week, it's almost like we planned it, that we managed to make it all fit in the right kind of sequence. And I have the privilege of being a dad. I have three sons. Now, Edwin, it did make me laugh a little bit when you said they kind of up playing at night, and Simon said, no, first 16 years aren't too bad. Actually, last night, my middle son, Thomas, he's now 17, I was trying to drag him away from the cricket club at about 10 o'clock last night. It doesn't get any better, I'm really sorry. We eventually made it away at 10:30, but he'd have stayed there a lot longer, I think. So, but whenever you say to people that you have three sons, there's a bit of a reaction, a bit like if you've had a kind of a dodgy plumber into your house or something, they'll go, three sons. But that's a bit challenging, is usually the words that they use. Or they say things like, how does your wife cope? I actually had somebody say to me the other day, has your wife got her own bathroom? Because surely she can't share with like you and three sons. And I'm like, no, we're all fine. Or they say things like, doesn't your house smell a bit? Now, I have to admit, teenage boys' bedrooms first thing in the morning do have a certain aroma, but it's not all bad. It's great fun. I usually say to people that I'm only an expert on boys as such, so I'm apologising to people that have girls. But having three boys, I've always thought it's a bit like having Labrador puppies. It's a bit like they're a bit excitable, they run around a lot, they need lots of food, lots of exercise, but eventually they do go to sleep for a bit. Okay, it's just lots of fun. But more seriously, as I was thinking about today, I was thinking, well, as a dad, what's really my role? And I'm figuring it out. I mean, my eldest son is a little bit old now. I think, well, have I done a good job or not? So I decided I should look up what a dad's role should be. And so, as is the norm today, I looked up on Google, because Google has the answer to everything, doesn't it? And I found this quote that I thought was quite good, really. And what it says to us is, it's on the screen there, the goal of a father's involvement is to nurture his child's intellectual, emotional, physical, social, and spiritual development. The key is to focus on his child's strengths, utilising the natural assets of a father's parenting style. So as a dad myself, how can I try and achieve this? How do I try and nurture my child's development in those kind of ways? There are many ways, but I guess one of the things that I really took from that is that as a dad, I really need to try and give them advice, as the two new dads said, kind of bringing them up in the right ways, helping them see good from bad, right from wrong, guiding them. So how does this fit with God being our Father? Does he do the same for us? If we see God as our Father, we are therefore his children, and so does he want the same for us? Now, I think before we go any further, we need to acknowledge perhaps just a couple of things. First of all, some of you here might be at a very early stage in terms of church, faith, that type of thing, and that's great. I just hope something you hear today might make you think a little bit more about God being your Father. Also, for some of you here today, acknowledging God as your Father might be quite tricky, actually, because you might have had a bit of a tricky relationship with your own earthly father. In some ways, I don't have a great answer. I have a great dad that I'm very thankful for, but I know others aren't so fortunate. All I can say that God is not like any earthly father. He really does want the best for us. He doesn't promise an easy life, but he does promise to be with us at all times. But back to the kind of question. The question being, if God is our Father, how can we work out how he's going to try and guide us and help us? Now, we've got a fairly short kind of part of the Bible to look at today. It's in John chapter 16. And actually, in this short passage, I'm hoping we can get a really good insight into how God can then try and help us see the ways forward. And actually, it brings together the Trinity, the three parts of God that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Now, just a bit of background before we have a look at this passage. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples just before he goes to be crucified and dies, that Rob talked about in week one of this kind of three-part series. And the disciples, quite understandably, are struggling. They're struggling to understand what happens next. They've been following Jesus and they cannot understand why he's going to be killed and taken back into heaven to be with God the Father. But Jesus gives them this reply. It'll come up on the screen now. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Now, you might also think, you might be sad thinking, right, hold on a minute, I've lost kind of a bit of track of who does what and what goes on. So let's just try and break that down a little bit and understand the logic. So in verse 13, Jesus says, the Spirit will guide us into all truth. So, starting point is, the Holy Spirit that Peter talked about last week will guide us into all truth. But then how does the Spirit know what to say to us to help guide us? Well, if we read on a little bit further, it goes on to say, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Okay, so the Spirit says what he hears. But then comes the question, well, who does he hear from? What does he hear? So if we then read on a little bit further, Jesus goes on to say, he will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So what the Spirit hears will come from Jesus, and all that Jesus has is from God, because reading on just that a little bit further again, it says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. So the Trinity will work together to help us see how we've been led into all truth. So what does this mean? What does it mean for us? Well, I believe it means that God will show us things he wants to do, and maybe some things that he wants us to stop doing. So it's easy then, isn't it? We listen for the Holy Spirit and we'll find out what God wants to say to us. But is it really that easy? How can we hear from God? I guess that's the first question. How are we going to hear from God and know what it is we should be doing? Well, I believe there are a number of ways. First of all, you can hear from the Bible. Now, we've had many talks over the past few weeks where this has come up in terms of reading the Bible. And just there's so much good stuff in it that can help us in our daily lives. But it may not be something you've done much of before. And you may be thinking, can God really kind of talk to me and show me things through reading this book? Well, I really believe it can. Now, personally, I try. I don't always manage it, but I really try to read the Bible every day. I'm quite fortunate in a way. You might not think so, but I'm quite fortunate. I catch the train every day. I've only got a little 20-minute train ride from Bracknell into Reading. But it's actually a really good 20 minutes. I do tend to catch a train relatively early, so it's not too busy. And I find that just gives me time to read the Bible and see what God might want to say to me. But in order for that to work well, I do need to just spend a couple of minutes kind of almost tuning into God. Now, this is what I do. I mean, you've got to find the thing that works for you. But before I do anything, I actually have a little notebook and I just note down kind of what the day holds, what's happening, what's going on in my head. Just because I find I need to get that out of the way, kind of, you know, get the kind of thoughts about the day out of my head. Then I pray, nothing particularly grand. I just say to God, look, just help me focus on what I'm about to read and on what I might be able to take from it. And then I read. So I read a part of the Bible. Does it work? Yeah, most days I find it does. Most days I find that God shows me something in what I'm reading, something that I perhaps should be doing or something I said before, like I should perhaps stop be doing. And just this week, just to give you a very quick example, I've been reading a book of the Bible called Judges, and it's showing me that we need to sometimes speak up and help others. It was kind of like, who do you need to go into battle for? Who do you need to go and help? And just this week, I mean, I know we've got the event on Saturday, and it just got me thinking about Abs and just the kind of battles that he faces every day and just, you know, how amazing he is and how can I support that? How can I help that? My legs might be a bit sore next Saturday, but, you know, that's going into battle for someone. That's helping them. But read the Bible. God can show you stuff. The next way in which I believe God can show us his will is by praying and then listening. Now, to some people, this might seem like a very strange and odd idea. How on earth can you hear from someone you cannot see, someone you can't physically touch? Surely it's impossible to be able to do that. And certainly before I became a Christian, I'd have agreed with you. You know, how can you hear from somebody you can't see or touch? But actually, I believe God does speak to us through his Spirit. And the best example I can give you from my own personal life is actually from a while ago now when I was thinking about it. It was a long time ago, over 20 years ago. And I wasn't happy at work. I decided to train as an accountant. I was coming towards the end of my exams. I was working at 3M when you had the 3M building in the middle of town that's now going to be a big block of apartments. And I just didn't know what to do. I was really unhappy. Where am I going with all of this? You know, should I really stay being an accountant? I need qualified. What should I do? And I was just praying and saying to God, well, what is it? What are the next steps? And I very clearly heard what was a voice in my head saying, you will use your accountancy training, but not in the way that you think. That was a bit strange. And at the time, I kind of thought, well, okay, maybe it means I'm going to go and work in a charity instead of in the private sector. Maybe that's what I should be doing. Now, to cut a long story short, over the next few weeks and months, it became quite clear that wasn't the route I should be going. And actually, what I've ended up doing is I moved into teaching accountancy, and I've been there ever since, which is why I was a bit sad that I realized it was over 20 years ago that I made that move. But I'm still there, and I still really enjoy what I'm doing. And I felt God really was speaking to me to move me in that kind of direction. Now, I think another way that God can speak to you is that whilst you're praying, sometimes you'll perhaps get a picture in your head or you'll actually see something that's tied into what you're praying about. And just to give you a bit of background to, again, an example I wanted to give you, it was at the time when, it was a couple of years ago now, we as a church, our previous minister Chris had moved on, and as a church we were trying to figure out the way forward, who should be leading the church, and in particular we were praying about whether Simon, the guy who's been leading the band this morning, should become our church leader. And as I was walking to the station that particular morning, I was walking down a road called Furlands, not that far away. And I walked past some trees, which should come up on screen now, hopefully. Now, you probably can't see that particularly well. But I walked past these trees loads of times before, didn't think anything of it, okay? But on this particular morning, I was praying about Simon being the leader. And again, as I walked past this, I distinctly felt God saying to me that, just to, because if you can't see it particularly well, there's a small sapling in the foreground of that picture, and then hopefully you can see the massive tree behind it, okay? It really is huge, the tree behind it. And I really felt quite distinctly God saying, Simon is like the tree in the foreground, okay? Simon is like the tree in the foreground. He's this sapling. But actually, with some nurturing and some support, he can become the tree in the background. He can become the one behind it, and he can become an amazing leader. Not that he isn't now, so I should probably make that clear as well. Now, I think we also need to make it clear before we go any further that if any of you are sat there going, you really appointed Simon on the back of some guy thinking he heard somebody say something about some trees, that is not the case. Okay, that is not what happened. What did actually happen was I took it to some other people and said, look, this is what I think happened. What do you think? You know, this is where we sometimes need others to help us with this whole thing as well. You know, I've had times when, to be honest, I think I've heard from God, but have I really heard from God? And actually, you need to go and ask others. If others pray, and if others get the same sense of what you're feeling, then I'm fairly confident that will be from God. I'm fairly confident that that is what we're trying to be told. But actually, there's two parts to this. Yes, you can hear what God might want you to do or stop doing, but I think the next bit is almost harder. And to introduce this, I went back to think about being a dad and how sometimes, and again, I really don't want to put the new dads off here, okay? Sometimes your children don't always necessarily want to listen to you, as this clip shows. So, yeah. I do love that bit where he goes, Linda, honey, listen. I do wonder if, like, perhaps the partner or the dad watched afterwards and went, oh, no, that's what I say every time, Linda, honey, listen. However, it did get me wondering about whether God, I know it's a bit irreverent in some ways, but whether God sometimes feels like saying, you're just not listening, okay? You're just not listening and you're just not doing what I'm asking you to do. And I guess it then we need to think, well, what may stop that? What may stop us if we think we've heard from God actually then acting on what we think he's telling us? Maybe you think, well, how do I know that it's God? How do I know that it's God and not just me kind of getting some kind of feeling or thinking something? And I just go back to what I said a few minutes ago, that actually ask others. Ask others what they think about something. Say, I'm just not sure, I think this, I'm not. And ask people you trust to pray and help you discern whether it really was from God. Maybe you think, I'm just not a good enough Christian. Maybe I'm not a Christian at all. I mean, why would God choose me? And actually, I think that the good thing is there are lots of people who think that. I've certainly thought that in the past. You know, I'm just not a good enough person to be doing this. Why would God choose me to do this? Surely there's somebody else that can be doing this. And actually, you know, we're not the first people to think this way. Plenty of examples in the Bible where people have thought this too. In actual fact, the first disciples, so the people that Jesus called to be his close friends, to follow him, weren't exactly what some people would call obvious candidates to do that job. In one of the accounts of Jesus' life in a book called Luke, there is a story of how Jesus called fishermen to be his disciples. That wouldn't be obvious people to do that. And one of the people he called, Simon Peter, actually says, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Now he was clearly like, no, it's not me. Okay, you don't want me. And yet Jesus says, don't be afraid, from now on, you will fish for men. God wants to use ordinary people like you and me to do amazing things. We just have to let him use us. So, okay, we're not sure if it's God. We're not sure if we're really the right person. And then I had my personal favorite, the but what if question. Okay, now the reason I say it's my personal favorite is I'm an accountant by training, which means we're naturally risk averse. We like to think through all the what ifs, the kind of, but hold on, what if, and what if, and what if. That's just in our nature. One of my good friends, Rob, who's sat over there, he'll be just smiling a lot now, because when I was on the leadership team here, we used to have leaders meetings, and he said, I just dreaded opening up my emails about 2 days later. There'd always be one from you going, I've been thinking, and what if? Oh, for goodness sake. But that is how I'm made, sorry. But I think it's what a lot of people do. Now, what if? What if? What if this happened? What if that happened? It can just go wrong. And actually, for something that might be, yeah, exactly, that's my point. I mean, what if God said to me, yeah, you need to sell your house and you need to use that money to go over to Sierra Leone and support the work that ABS is doing? Could happen. And you see, that's why people are, oh, I don't really see, that's why it just gets me into areas that I'm just not comfortable with. But actually, I think today God wants to tell us that maybe there are some small things. Maybe there are small things that you might be walking around and you think, maybe I should just, no, I won't go and do that. And actually, the example I'm about to give you, I do want to caveat this and say, I'm not very good at this. I'm just trying to become better at it. One Sunday, a few months ago now, I was cooking the Sunday roast, and before he says it, I do generally cook the Sunday roast. I do like cooking the Sunday roast on a Sunday afternoon in the kitchen. I will admit, I do usually have the football on an iPad to one side, but I do like cooking the Sunday roast. And I was cooking it, and I was again thinking, we're going to have too much here. Even with boys in the house, we're going to have too much. We're going to have some leftovers. And again, this little voice just says to me, you should take some round to your next door neighbour. Now, our next door neighbour is a lovely old lady. She lives on her own. And it's like, okay, so I need to take some round. So, took the plate round thinking, okay. Took it round, knocked the door, and said, just thought you'd want some leftovers. Thinking, how is she going to react to this? And she was so thankful, to the point of actually crying and saying, neighbours don't do that. Neighbours don't come round with Sunday roast. I said, well, yes, we do. And what I want to try and get across to you is it was a small thing, but it made a massive difference to that person. So as we come kind of towards the end of my time up here, and then the band will lead us in some songs, I want us to just have a think about a few questions, really. So as I said, I'm a classic person for what-if questions. So I've got three. So the first one says, what if you decided to accept God as your father? Maybe you are somebody who's never done that before, never thought about that before. What if? Yeah, it's a risk, but maybe it's a risk worth taking. What if you have accepted God as your father? What if you decided that actually maybe he can speak to you some more? What if you need to listen to him some more and you need to actively listen to him some more? Again, a risk, because we don't know what he's going to tell us. But again, a risk I think is worth taking. And then last of all, perhaps the crucial bit, what if we decided to act on what we were told? What if we decided that actually that little voice that you think, should I go and do that? What if you decided you would go and do that? Yeah, it's a risk. Of course it's a risk. But I know from that one experience I had of taking that Sunday roast down, it made a massive difference to that person. So as the band come up, I'm going to lead us in some songs. Just initially, let's take a few moments to think about those three questions as we think about God being our Father on Father's Day.
Something's going on there. It's just an example of what Stephen was saying. And I heard a wonderful preacher called T.D. Jakes